Coach, I'll be honest with you. Thursday night seems like a month ago, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. After all the weekend games and the activities,
sure.
Not only in the NFL but around football in general.
In such a way, is this kind of a bye?
We call it a mini bye.
Okay.
In terms of our bye week that we had 4 weeks ago, it was a 7-day window where our players were off, and after the game on Thursday, gave the guys 4 days off, trying to get them to recover both physically and mentally, and let
sure.
the coaches get a couple of days as well. And I think you got to do that, especially after the run-up to a Thursday night game. It's very taxing, both physically and mentally.
Smitty, before we dig deep into what's going on with the team, certainly in this game and how you look at things moving forward with the way the playoff structure is starting to stack up, did you get a chance to kind of settle in this weekend? I know you're probably still game plan a little bit for Carolina, but did you get a chance to watch any of the football this weekend? There was a huge game in the SEC on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I actually did not watch the game on Saturday afternoon. I spent time with my family. We took some time to get out of town for a little bit and got back in time to watch about three quarters of the Denver Tampa
okay.
game. So I did get a chance as we were working on Christmas decorations. So we were multitasking in the,
yeah.
in the Smith family last evening. If we didn't get it done last night, it was going to probably not get done for a while.
Well, Smitty, how big is that? How big is that? Let's take that just for as far as recharging the battery. We talk about how this is a marathon season.
Mm.
You started, all your preparations began in March last year as you moved through this stuff and all the different times that you put into this thing. Nice opportunity for a little battery charger for a couple of days for you, I would assume.
It was, and for the players, it's really important, and for the coaches, it's almost as important. We all took off on Saturday and Sunday and got back in here first thing this morning, and you've got to recharge your batteries. It's both physically and mentally. The football season for a coach can drain you physically in terms of the sleep deprivation that you put your body through, and we needed it, and the guys came in here this morning, and we all had a little pep in our step.
To that point, and you mentioned this in passing, not only in Tampa, but the other night as well, and here our first minute or two, can you walk us through the plan on last week because of the three-day turnaround, essentially, from Sunday in Tampa to playing Thursday in Atlanta, and I know you mentioned in Tampa in postgame with Dave and me both on radio and TV about some of the assignments that have been done leading up to the Tampa game as it related to Thursday night from part of your staff, right? I mean, you had to do something in order to kind of hit the ground running after the Tampa game, right?
Well, we did, and it starts with how we tried to handle our players, and it really started 3 weeks ago in terms of our preparation in the amount of work that we did out on the field.
Yeah.
We cut snaps back, and as you get further along in the season, you will continue to do that. But we knew that we had to reduce the volume and the amount of time that we were going to be out on our field, or there would be a cumulative effect that we really would have felt on the short week for New Orleans. In terms of the preparation, we had to work ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We had played New Orleans 3 weeks prior to, so there was just a couple of games that needed to be broken down. So those were being done in advance by our assistants. And every coach on our staff has a certain responsibility, offensively, defensively, and special teams-wise, that they're responsible for, and they have to break down. And they had to do that as we were preparing for Tampa in our weekly preparation. So we burnt the candle pretty hard.
Sure.
Up to that Thursday, and that's why we took the 2 days off.
Rich McKay made a point to us in the pregame the other night, and I'll ask you this from your coaching perspective. Easier to play a short turnaround against a team you have great familiarity with as opposed to what you did last year with Jacksonville, a team you just kind of saw remotely in the preseason. Fair?
Very fair.
Okay.
In fact, I've been an advocate. If you're going to play, we're going to play Thursday night games. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice that you would be playing a division team if it could all be possible. And I think it would be advantageous for everybody. When you don't know a team and you play them maybe every 2 years, or if it's on the 4 year rotation, where you're not seeing them because it's a division and you don't happen to match up, they're in the AFC, it would be really tough. Last year against Jacksonville, at least there was some familiarity with having worked down there, and we had some guys on our staff that were very familiar with them as well.
Mike Smith Show here, presented by Superior Plumbing here on Sports Radio 790 Zone. Dave Archer and Wes Durham, along with Coach Mike Smith here. Smitty, I want to dive into this game a little bit. Obviously, like Wes said, it seems like it's a couple weeks ago since you all played. But Thursday night, a division game, and you had arguably the best quarterback in the league coming in that can sling it all over the yard, and your crew was able to take it away from him five times, unprecedented five times, never been done in his career, and in the interim broke his touchdown, consecutive touchdown streak at 54. So a lot there to kind of digest for the fan, but the players don't know that, do they? You just go and you try to take away the ball in each series of downs.
Well, there's no doubt about it, Dave. You're not concerned about records when you go out there and play. You're worried about that play, and I thought that our defense did a very nice job. As I rehashed the game, we started off fast offensively, we started fast defensively, and then there was a lull on both sides of the football, really for about six series on the defensive side. I think it was series 4 through 10. In five series on the defensive side of the ball, where we were reeling a little bit, and we were very fortunate there before halftime not to give up any points, where the clock ran out on them with the ball down on about our 2 or 3 yard line. So that was huge. But there was a lull in the game, and then I think if you look at our drive charts, they come back, and it looks like we played really good football. The turnovers were crucial. And I think this was a prime example of sacks being overrated. We had one sack in that football game, but we had lots of pressure on the quarterback. Three of the interceptions were directly caused by pressure on the quarterback, and we had a sixth one that was called back because we lined up offsides.
It was kind of a strange weekend in the Georgia Dome, Wes. I did the SEC title game on the radio. Obviously was with you side-by-side there at the Georgia Dome on Thursday night for the Falcon win. And it was a weekend in the Georgia Dome to mismanage the game or mismanage the clock in the red zone. Both teams, Alabama and Georgia, had problems with it. And, of course, New Orleans had a problem, as you mentioned, with Breeze at the end, a strange scenario. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the pressure that gets so overlooked. We have one sack. How much did it limit Breeze? It looked to me like his eyes began to lock in on stuff because of the pressure you were providing, which maybe have given those guys in the back end a tell as to go get the football.
It did, Dave. I thought that we provided the pressure that we needed to provide. We got him moving. We got him looking. And I think that our secondary did a very good job. Drew does a great job of moving the defensive backs with his mannerisms of pumping the ball. And actually, sometimes he's pumping the ball in the complete opposite direction of where he's wanting to throw it or where there's a receiver. And it's going to move underneath defender or move a safety, and then he's going to come back and throw the ball in a different direction. And I think a prime example was on the first interception there in the end zone of Thomas Dekou. He was trying to move Thomas with a head fake and with his eyes. Thomas didn't bite for it and was able to come back when he was throwing the ball down the seam on the other side and get the interception there in the end zone. So the pressure was crucial in the ball game, and I thought our guys did a nice job of being very disciplined with their eyes, and you've got to be disciplined against a very good quarterback like Drew Brees.
Dave has mentioned a lot in our ball games with New Orleans that it's not just perimeter edge pressure on Brees. There's got to be something in the front of the pocket or down the middle, essentially, from pressure as well, because of the way he steps up in the pocket to essentially extend the play, to allow the receivers to get open or whatever, to eventually coverage falls off, that kind of thing. That pressure the other night, you seemed to get some stuff built in the middle of the pocket around him, Coach.
We did, and I thought Corey Peters probably had his best game back, and Corey came off PUP and did a nice job. Jonathan Babineau was in the backfield all night long, not only in the pass game but in the run game. And Vance Walker had another solid game. Vance is slowly just steadily playing very well for us. And we got an opportunity to play some young guys in the game as well. Travion Robertson had 18 snaps in the ball game, and Cliff Matthews, I think, had 12 snaps in the ball game. So we got those young guys some snaps, and that's great experience for us moving forward. And the defensive line and the secondary, I thought, played their best games of the season. Our linebackers had better games, as a unit. But when you look at it and evaluate it, you'd have to say that was a solid effort by our defensive line and an outstanding effort. We lost Asante Samuel after the third play of the ball game. He knocked his shoulder down again. Christopher Owens came in and did a very good job. We kept Christopher outside and did not put him in at the nickel position. Bobby McClain ended up playing our nickel for us like he had been all season long, and those guys did a very nice job. I think our two safeties, William and Thomas, getting us in and out of coverages, did a very, very good job as well.
Now we got to take a break, but we'll come back. We'll talk about the offense. Obviously, we talked a lot about it, but the defense. You mentioned CO. I thought Christopher Owens maybe had his best game of the season, pressed into service in the way you used him. I thought he made some huge plays in the game to get New Orleans off the field.
They got a safety lined up on Roddy White. Is it a linebacker? Oh, it's a linebacker. Ryan going to throw. There's Gonzalez. What a catch! Touchdown Atlanta! Right over the top of Curtis Lofton!
Get coverage of every NFL team for your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call Star NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
And welcome back to Mike Smith Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, the honest plumber at 770-422-PLUM, with Dave Archer, West Durham, and the head coach of the Falcons. Here for our full hour today as the Panthers wait in Charlotte at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Our coverage starts with AT&T's countdown to kickoff at 11 a.m. We come back with that particular play. I'm trying to diagnose and setting up the play, a linebacker or safety, and then Gonzalez ends up with a linebacker on. There was a linebacker on Roddy White in the slot, too. We talk about the offensive start you had the other night. How much was it? Matchups to running the ball, matchups to passing the ball, because you ran it really well early the other night against New Orleans, Coach.
We did. It was nice to see us start clicking off some rushing yardage right off the right off the bat. Michael got the 35-yard run on the first drive, and I thought he ran as well as he's run all season long. We got Jacquez going early. He had two 14-yard runs early there in the first quarter, and ended up with almost 5 yard or a little over 5 yard average, I believe, when you put in all the runs together. And we needed that. We needed to be able to establish the run. It allows you to create some play action and throw some shots down the seam. We got the seam pass to Tony on a nice matchup that we felt like was in our favor. And there were a couple of options on that play as well. But it was a great throw and a great catch. The thing that we probably didn't do like we've done all season long is we didn't consistently throw the ball well. It was the lowest total output throwing the football. Coach Spagnuolo, I thought, did a nice job in mixing up his coverages. I thought the third down efficiency has got to be much better as we move into the fourth quarter. A week ago down in Tampa, it was our best game of the season on third down efficiency. And it's a matter of a couple of inches on a couple of measurements, and we got first downs. We had a couple of balls that we'd have liked to have had back. We had a couple of balls that we would have liked to have caught. And instead of it being 1 for 11, it probably has a real easy chance to be 5 or 6 for 11, but that's football, and we didn't make the plays that we've been making in previous games on the offensive side. I thought when we had to make the plays, though, we did make some really nice plays across the board. Julio had he had a couple of big catches. Tony again continues to maze. He was targeted 5 times and had 4 catches and had the touchdown. We got Jason Snelling a little bit more involved in the pass game this week, and we just didn't throw the ball as consistently as we would have liked.
Smitty, I got a screwy number on third down that I want to ask you about here a little bit, but I won't ask you now. Talking about the offense, you jump out 17-0 in the game. From a mindset, I think the layman fan, you know, sees a certain thing, or whether you start to, you mentioned the lull you got into a little bit offensively in the middle. Some of that had to do with New Orleans State on the field.
Yep.
Couldn't get New Orleans off the field. They did a good job of moving the football, and then you played really well in the red zone and kept them off the scoreboard. But what is the mindset when you're up 17-0 in that situation? And it's and nothing simple, but you look at it, you all of a sudden say, wow, we're 17-0 ahead in this game. What happens from a mindset there?
Well, I think the mindset that you want to have is you want to keep your foot on the gas pedal. And you've got them down, you want to keep them down. And I know that was the mindset that we had. And as I said, when we got into the fourth series, the fifth series, we had a three and out, a four and out, a three and out, a three and out, and a three and out. So between five and nine, those series, we couldn't get anything established, and it was just one thing after another. We had some good field position when we scored our 17th point, where we took the ball over on the 29-yard line off of the Sean Weatherspoon interception. We got the ball on the plus side of the 50, actually inside the 30. You're in field goal range right there. That's when you really want to make it. You know, you want to make those guys pay. They did not give up. They showed some resiliency, showed the type of football team that New Orleans Saints have been. They're a group that's going to play hard till the very end. And it was a hard-fought game. We didn't get off the field defensively. The five picks were big, but we didn't get off the field defensively. We lost the time of possession by almost seven minutes.
Right.
And that has to do with us not getting off the field and us not converting on third down, flipping, on both sides. We got to be better on both sides of the ball.
It's crazy. It seems like that the turnover number is the number that I think if you guys could pick a number out you'd like to win, and you obviously points against and points you score is number one, but turnover is the battle. Yet you get two wins, one on the road, one in your own building, and you're minus six in the turnover ratio. One game you throw five picks and you still win the game.
Yeah.
And here is a game where you're plus five or whatever it was, plus six or whatever it was in the turnover ratio. It seems like your team defies the logic of that number.
Well, if you go over the long haul, you're gonna put all your emphasis on the turnover margin,
yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, statistically, it is the number one factor. And we've been able to overcome it a time or two. A couple of weeks ago, three out of 69 games have had a five-plus margin since 2003, and we were able to overcome it. So there's anomalies in every stat, and anytime you're evaluating things, there's going to be anomalies, and there was. But back to the New Orleans game, offensively, we just didn't feel like we were in sync for the entire 60 minutes. It was a lull there in the second and third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it felt that way in the stands. I know it felt that way on the sideline. But the guys never lost their focus, and they kept going out there and chopping wood, so to speak.
It was interesting to follow it during the course of the game, because we had several stats we could pull from. There was a time of possession, there was a yardage thing, but yet you continued to seize the lead in the ball game, and indirectly, I thought, Coach, continue to have the momentum in the game, which was interesting, given that the offense wasn't able to generate something, and it may speak to the well-rounded nature of your football team.
Well, it is. I think it's very well-rounded, and I know that we never feel like we're out of a game, and if we're not performing like we need to on defense, we feel like the offense or special teams is going to pick us up, but we're not doing it offensively, if we're not hitting on all three
Sure.
cylinders, the other two groups are going to pick us up. One of the things that we didn't do well on defense is the third down and longs. So the very first third down was a third and 14. I believe the second third down they converted was a third and 9. You've got them in the situation that you want to be in defensively, and we weren't very efficient and didn't do the things that we needed to do to get off the field on third down defensively either.
How different animal is New Orleans with Breeze playing at quarterback in those particular situations? Third and long, it looks like he's almost willing, unlike maybe other than maybe an Aaron Rodgers, willing to, and Peyton Manning, who you made pay to try to make some of those, he's willing to throw the ball in a crowd, because I thought there were two or three other passes he could have had picked off in the game had we just trusted the eyes and gone and got the football. Am I wrong about that?
You were right on, Dave. There, you know, it was almost like we were not playing the ball. We were playing the man. We were playing to tackle him. And there were, you know, we did a great job, don't get me wrong, with six turnovers and one was called back. But there were a couple of those seam throws that we were right there. And when you're right there, you've got to make the play. But those are the type of throws that the great Hall of Fame Pro Bowl quarterbacks are going to make, and Drew Brees obviously fits into that category with the you know, the consecutive touchdown streak that you know, that he's gone through, passing Johnny Unitas by I think 7 games.
All right, snapped on Thursday night player in Atlanta.
Yeah. Stay tuned. More coming up with Coach Smith, including this interesting thing we brought up in the broadcast the other night, and I've done a little further examination on it about college linebackers who are now head coaches.
Okay.
In the NFL. It's interesting. The other night we had two former college linebackers matching wits as head coaches. There's another one in this division that was a linebacker as well. We'll talk about that. You know, it's not the quarterbacks, Smitty, that sometimes make the best coaches. It's the hard-minded defensive linebackers.
Well, I'm interested to see who we're talking about. Not only, I think I got an idea in our division, but I'm not.
I think you see one next weekend.
Yeah. I think we do.
Stay tuned. More of the show coming up, brought to you by Superior Plumbing. Don't forget, Monday night, football fans, Pizza Hut's $10 deal is back. And perfect for the game with the Cowboys, Giants and Redskins tonight in the NFC East. Any pizza, any size, any toppings, $10. When you order out right now, Pizza Hut. Stay tuned. More from Flowery Branch with the head coach of the Falcons after this.
Play clock down to 4. Snap to Breeze. He'll look. And sack! John Abraham drops him back at the 42, and that might be the biggest play of the night.
That's our SunTrust Bank defensive shining play of the game. Take the next step toward financial well-being with SunTrust. How can they help you shine today? The Mike Smith Coaches Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, continues from Flowery Branch on 7-9 of the Zone with Dave Archer, West Durham, and the head coach of the Falcons. Falcons and Panthers for a second time in this regular season, coming up on Sunday from Uptown Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium. And our coverage starts with AT&T's countdown to kickoff at 11. And then the ball game in Charlotte against the Panthers, who fell yesterday by 6 out in Kansas City, starts at 1 o'clock. You were going to talk about third down here real quick, and I want you to...
Yeah, it's just a screwy number, and I was more staggered by it than anything else. The 6 road games the Falcons have played in, obviously we're at the three-quarter pole now as we start to go to the fourth quarter here, 6 games on the road, 6 at home. Atlanta converting at almost 61% on third down on the road on offense. And you talked about anomalies within the numbers, and obviously when you look at 2 games, the game this last weekend where you're 1-for-11 on third down and then 2-for-9 on third down against the Raiders, skew the number at home where you're converting it right around 36% on third down. But is that something when you start preparing stuff, is that something you have a feeling that's going on? Do you know that you're doing that well on the road like that?
Well, I know that we've had some better quarterback ratings on the road, and usually the third down is part of it. You know, when you start talking about third downs, you're talking about 11 plays in a ball game week, or 9 at the Oakland game. Really, the most important thing is, besides that, you want to be somewhere between 45% and 50%. If you're at 45%, you're going to be in the top 7 or 8. In the league, you'd like to be 50, 51, 52, and then you're really going to be up there in one of the top 1, 2, or 3s in the league. But just as important is earning first downs on first down and earning first downs on second down.
Uh-huh.
In a football game, on average, there's going to be a third down. Most games have between 65 and 70 snaps in a game. This game's going to play out just like most games. There was 11. There were 11 third downs, and about every 5.5 snaps of a game, you're going to have a third down. And believe it or not, about 25% of your first downs, if you're really rolling, are earned on first down. About 25% of them are going to be earned on, you know, earned on second down, and then if you're then the others are going to be earned on third and fourth down. And you want to.
So that's why you can live with 45%.
That's exactly right. You want to be able to get first downs on first down and first downs on second down, just as important as getting first downs on third
down.
It's
amazing.
And
yeah.
Defensively, you look at it as a, you look at it on the other side of it is that you want to make sure that you get people in third down. You don't want to be giving up first downs on first downs and first downs on second down. That's why you hear us sometimes and hear me talk about, hey, Coach Nolan, we live to get them in third down. One, third down's a fun down to call because more than likely if it's more than 2 yards, you're getting some type of pass play, and that's when you can bring your more exotic coverages and blitzes. But you want to be, you know, you want to be good on first, just as good on first and second down as you do on third down, because there's a lot more first and second downs than third downs in a game.
Right.
Dave and I spent a good bit of time talking about first downs, offensively and defensively, during the course of a game.
Success or lack thereof.
In a ball game, are you consistently, when you guys look at a game plan, I'm not looking for trade secrets here, but when you look at a game, are you thinking about how first down looks and where it is and what kind of personnel you want to be in? Is first down as important, more important than third down when you put a game plan together?
Well, I think we definitely want to look at it. I think on first and second down, most times you have a better idea of how people are going to try to attack you. And it gets to be a numbers, you know, it gets to be a numbers game based on how many guys they have close to the line of scrimmage is going to basically dictate what you have. Do you have split safeties? Do you have press coverage? Do you see that the coverage is tilted to one of a receiver, so the double coverage is going on one side? And you usually see that on first and second down. Third down becomes more of the chess match game in the way that people try to defend you. It's trying to confuse the quarterback, trying to confuse the protection, which when you're talking about the protection, you're talking about the offensive linemen, tight ends, and running backs, and even the receivers, because based on certain protections, if a fourth guy comes off one side and we're turning the protection another way, we've got to go hot, and we've got to break off our routes. But first and second down, I think you get a better feel of how people are going to defend you.
To that effect, now that you've played them twice, and we talked about this in years past, New Orleans did not seem to declare, from a defensive perspective, remember how they used to declare the safety? Not as much declaration of that in under Steve Spagnuolo as there was maybe under Greg Williams. Fair?
That's fair to say. Very fair to say. You're going to get a different look on the shell where you're not going to be able to identify. And they on the snap or right before the snap, you're going to see the rotation take place, or they're going to stay in a what we call a split safety look when you're talking about the middle of the field open, the middle of the field closed. There's not a player standing between the hash marks when the middle of the field is open. When it's closed, there's that middle of the field defender, and he's usually pretty deep.
Head Coach Mike Smith Show brought to you by Superior Plumbing right here on Sports Radio 790 Zone. Westerham Dave Archer alongside Head Coach Mike Smith. Smith, you want to get into maybe some big picture stuff in our last segment.
Sure.
We got two more segments here with Coach Smith. But looking at Carolina, a team that lost in Kansas City, as Wes mentioned, this weekend in a really difficult game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, what went on out there this weekend. But so Kansas City wins the football game, and here comes a team that's won two games in Carolina. A lot of flux going on up there. What do you expect? How does this team handle their business, knowing you still have got a lot to play? There's a lot going on. There's home field advantage, all that kind of stuff. What do you expect out of a Carolina team that's going to be playing at home against you guys coming in?
Oh, we're going to get their best shot. When you have had the success that we've had this season, we've been very fortunate to win a lot of football games. And we're used to it. We're going to get people's best shot to see what they got. They want to measure up against us. I don't know that they're mathematically out of the playoff contention, but I think it is a long shot for them. And we had a very hard fought game here in Atlanta, coming down to one of our closest games of the season. In terms of a 30-28 game and a third down stop and forced them to punt there at the end of the ball game where they were close to being in field goal range. And they are a very talented team, and it starts with their quarterback. We know that, and he's very unique in terms of how you have to defend him because he is a runner, and he ran the ball extremely well against Kansas City when he had the opportunity to run it, and they were called runs. And he's throwing the ball and taking care of the football over the last four games. He's really been playing very efficiently in terms of touchdown to interception ratio. He's done a very nice job.
When you look at the game in week four is when you took on Carolina earlier in the year and got the win here in dramatic fashion, as you just talked about, they were able to get your quarterback, unlike any other team has been able to get to the quarterback all year. Seven sacks in that game. Shoot, you've given seven sacks up in the last five games over the last 5 weeks. So something that they may have found there that you feel like they're probably going to try to repeat and get back at day two?
I think we're going to see that. We're going to see the guys cranking up the pass rushes as we take the field warm-up. I really do. They came hard at us, and I think we did not – run the ball as effectively as we needed to in the ball game here in Atlanta, and I think it's going to be important for us to continue to work on establishing a run game, and it'll be dependent on how they're going to try to defend us. We all know that. Mm-hmm. As I've said before, we want to be a scoring team, not necessarily a running team or a passing team. We want to be a scoring team, and these guys did a very good job up front. I've been impressed with the rotation. They do a nice job with the rotation of their defensive line. Charles Johnson doesn't necessarily have extraordinary numbers, but he's got 8.5 sacks up to this point. He does a good job coming off the edge, as well as Greg Hardy. Yeah. I think there's 16.5 sacks between them. And they got some big guys, Dwan Edwards. When I was leaving Baltimore, he was coming into the league, and he can rush the passer as well. But he is a big, a big, strong guy. And then they rotate some other guys. The rookie middle linebacker, I think he's kind of taken over.
Keekly. Yeah, good player.
Yeah, very good player. Started as the Will linebacker. I think they had some injury issues with Beeson, and now he's manning that middle linebacker position. And Thomas Davis is an amazing story with his ability to come back from the multiple knee injuries. I think now he's had three ACL operations. I've always been impressed with James Anderson, and it's a feisty secondary. The young rookie Josh Norman, a late round pick, basically installed him in as a starter at the beginning of the season. He had a great preseason. He's a very, he's a very good player. And Captain Munnerlin,
he's over because Gamble got hurt, right?
That's Gamble's correct. Gamble's out, but Captain Munnerlin had been their nickelback. Right. But he's a competitor now. He will compete. He loves to mix it up.
He's got a little Corbin Finnegan in him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, well, they lost Gerard Martin yesterday, by the way, out in Kansas City with ACL and MCL injury, so another hit in their defensive secondary.
Yes. That was a kid from Troy.
Yeah.
Yep. I think local kid down at Griffin High School.
That's right.
Griffin. Yep. I remember we did our due diligence and did a lot of work on him. But, offensively, it's a unique offense, and Steve Smith, probably the most competitive guy. I know Steve will have something to say to me if he catches one on the sideline. He always does.
Always likes to pay his respect.
He certainly does. But he's having an outstanding year, and I really have been impressed. They lead the league, or at the top of the league, in terms of explosive plays, plays of 20 yards or more. And I think people don't realize how good Cam Newton can throw the ball down the field vertically, and I think a lot of it has to do with the way that they present the formations and coming off of the option fakes and being able to throw the ball down the field. And they were chucking it on Sunday yesterday there in Kansas City.
I will focus more with Coach Hill in our final segment about Kansas City. Also, congratulations on winning the South. I know that's just a mathematical.
Oh, by the way,
congratulations on winning the South.
Thank you very much. but we've got much higher internal goals than just winning, just winning the division. But it's a step in the process of where we want to go.
All right, we'll come back and talk about that. Finish up with Coach Smith.
Breeze takes the snap, shoots it underneath. That's Sproles. He's tackled, and that might do it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and there's the half. Halftime at the Dome.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Experience NFL football on Verizon 4G LTE. NFL Mobile, built to bring you the game.
All right, back with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, the Falcon head coach Mike Smith's been with us. Thank you for your time here, Smitty. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Falcons and Panthers coming up in Charlotte. I teased this earlier. What is it about linebackers being coaches and head coaches?
Right. There's a mental toughness that's attached to that.
Is there any correlation here? I mean, we've got you. Joe Vitt was a linebacker at Towson. Greg Schiano, a linebacker at Bucknell in his playing days in college. You, of course, had 186 tackles as a senior at East Tennessee State. Went back and did the research on that one.
Yeah.
Is that right, 186?
Yeah, something like that.
And then the guy who you're on the other sideline from on Sunday, I think even sacked Archer.
Ron Rivera?
Yeah.
Ron never got to.
Ron, Otis Wilson?
Everyone else on that defense tackled me. Ron didn't get one.
No, Ron didn't get one?
No.
Okay. Smitty, what is it about linebackers coaching? Mike McCarthy's on the defensive side. I mean, go down the list here. I mean, they're all basically.
I don't know. I didn't realize that.
It's that position, by the way, but more than others, like quarterbacks or anything as others is.
Maybe it's we're not smart enough to go ahead and go into another line of work. I don't know. Don't know the answer to that. Wes,
it's interesting.
Yes, it is. No doubt. And I'm sure when you're a linebacker, you're involved in the run game and the pass game.
You're the quarterback of the defense.
Yep. There's in most instances. Well, don't have as much responsibility as a quarterback on the offensive side, though.
I fit in this category, but I think one of the reasons is because the linebacker much more of a team-oriented guy, and there's not any of the pomp and circumstance attached to the guy. And when I say that, most quarterbacks, there's a, I don't want to say prima donna, but there's an attachment to the quarterback, and I don't want you to comment on this because you got a couple of your brethren that are quarterbacks that are coaching the league, but that's what I see. The difference is there's a work, and not that the quarterbacks don't work at it, but there's just a workman style, roll your sleeves up, blue collar, I'm gonna go to work every day mentality the linebacker has.
Yeah, good point. This was your mini buy, as you said at the top of the hour with us. If good fortune shines your way, you may get a week off after the end of the regular season leading into the first round of the playoffs. And if things go right, you'll get that. How will now, coming off this mini-bye, will you establish normalcy now for the final four regular season games leading up to the end of the regular season?
We will. When we meet tomorrow, we'll talk about our debriefing, what I call our debriefing that we do after every game, and we'll talk about the things that we did above the line, below the line. Rehash the third quarter of the season, which we were 3-1 in, and talk about the fourth quarter and the importance of performing well in the fourth quarter. Our practice tomorrow, which we don't normally practice on a Tuesday, will be a Falcons on Falcons day, except for one scripted period where we'll introduce our guys and just reacquaint them with the offense and defensive schemes that Carolina runs. The defensive schemes are a lot similar to what we see week in and week out. We're going to have to go back to a little different style of defense in terms of accounting for the quarterback. But we're going to work Falcons on Falcons and then come back in on Wednesday and start our normal routine. The only thing that's different probably through this last quarter of the season, and I say probably, is we're out of the contact business. When I say contact, we won't practice in pads. We've had 10 padded practices, and you're allowed to have 14. We probably will not use those four padded practices that the collective bargain agreement says that we're able to do. But we need to keep our guys as fresh as we possibly can through this first this fourth quarter, through the fourth quarter. And there's going to be a lot of things happening. This is when everybody starts saying they need this to happen and that to happen, and people start looking. We're going to keep our head down and continue to try to do the things that we've done, and let somebody tell us at the end of the weekend where we stand.
Well, Smitty, and obviously the guys are human beings, and they're watching and listening to what's going on, and I would assume that conversation, how much do you have to be as a coach? And there's always a little bit of psychologist built into the coach anyway.
A lot of psychology.
Okay, a lot of psychology. Got your degree, got your master's degree in psychology. This quarter in particular, especially the situation you played yourself into, as you just mentioned, there's going to be people saying, okay, two wins and you guys can rest everybody for the back of last two games. How much of that part of it will that be part of your talk to your team as far as the psychology part of it?
Well, we'll lay out how this fourth, you know, how we want this fourth quarter to play out, and we'll talk about different scenarios and different situations. We try to be as transparent as we can with our players, especially in the meeting rooms, and those are things that we talk about, and how we would ideally like to see things go. And if they go this way, this is plan A, this is plan B, this is plan C. But ultimately, the number one thing for us is we want to win as many football games as we can in the fourth quarter, and then there'll be sub factors that we, you know, that we'll concern ourselves with. But most importantly is that we're going to make sure that we go out and we play every game to win. We need to win them. We need to win them all. We need to go 4-0 here in the fourth quarter.
You guys' management of Sean Witherspoon's injury and making sure that he was going to be healthy for you. Obviously, you play him if he's ready to go, and you don't play around with that, but also the way you managed Julio Jones and his ability to get him back, because he looks like he was injured. It was unbelievable the way Marty Lazan and Coach Fish handled their business and getting him back on the field for you. I would assume a similar scenario with Asante Samuel and making sure that, you'd like to have him play this weekend, but you want him to be able to play for you the long run, right?
Yes, you've got to make sure that you make decisions on injuries, not just for this week. You've got to look at the different scenarios that can take place with the guy playing, not playing. Do we have a backup? Will he put himself in a situation where if he gets dinged, he's going to miss another 3 weeks? But if we hold him out, he's going to be back in a week. Those are all things that we have to go through, and it's a lot of conversation with the trainer, and it's a lot of conversation with the doctor, and then it's conversation with the players. And sometimes you get better feedback from different players in terms of what they're capable of doing. We missed Asante; he only played three snaps in the ball game. But we'll see where he's at, and we'll have to make a decision as we go further through the week. But I do want to say this as we close. That was an electric atmosphere Thursday night in the Georgia Dome. There was a delay game penalty and two procedural penalties on the New Orleans Saints, and it had a lot to do with the crowd noise. It was deafening standing there on the sideline, and we need that when we get back in here in 2 weeks. We want to go over to Carolina this week and play good, efficient football, but in 2 weeks, when we come back to play in the Dome, we need to have a crowd. It ought to be a fun afternoon of football.
All right, congratulations on taking care of checkmark one in the division title.
Well, thank you very much.